Jesus knew where you would be today. Jesus knew what you would be facing in this moment. He knew what concerns would be filling your heart, even as you sit here this morning. Jesus knew about you. He knew about your life long, long ago. Jesus knew you. And He wanted to give you hope. He wanted to strengthen you. He wanted to give you comfort, even today. And that's why Jesus sent you a message. Jesus sent you this message nearly 2,000 years ago because Jesus knew that you needed to hear a word of hope today. And that's why Jesus asked a man named John to write the last book of the Bible, Book of Revelation, and to deliver it for us this morning. On Easter morning, we read a beautiful description of Jesus that comes in the middle of chapter 1 of Revelation. It's John's vision of Jesus there, glorious and glorified, and how John saw Him and as best he could described what he saw in that vision of Jesus. And today, we're going to start a six-week study of the book of Revelation. And we're going to go back to chapter 1 this morning and read the first half of the chapter as we start to think about what God wants us to know, not just about the end times. And I know when you hear the word Revelation, you think, oh, we're going to be talking about Jesus' return. And that'll be part of what we talk about because that's part of what the book of Revelation is about, but that's not the whole story. But we're going to work our way through this really powerful and important book. We're going to read some difficult and challenging passages. We're also going to read, like today, some hopeful and inspiring words. And when I read the book of Revelation, I find here hope. I find here challenge. I find here inspiration that helps us face whatever it is that we're facing today. Because again, Jesus knew that you needed a word of hope. And that is why He sent John to deliver this message to the first century church, to that early generation of believers, and now down through the generations, this message comes to us. And it is Jesus' message to us, to the church. Even to our church, to our lives, this message of hope and assurance that Jesus is with us. And yes, that Jesus will return one day, that He will gain the final victory over the powers of darkness, that He will establish the new heaven and the new earth, and that is the great promise of Revelation. But this book was written to us. It's written to the church from the first generation of believers all the way down through the generations. And now it comes to us. And so we're going to hear today what John recorded for us as the Spirit inspired him and really as Jesus delivered this message. And you'll hear how the message came to John and how he wrote it down and passed it on to us. So Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him, to show His servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending His angel to His servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I know Revelation can seem difficult to understand. And as you read through here, you might even wonder, as you read a passage like this, who's talking and who's addressing who and who's writing what. And as we go through, we'll try to make sense of some of those things. I know also that some people are afraid to read the book of Revelation because you might think, well, I don't understand it, or maybe I'm even scared by some of the things I read there, and so it's better just to leave that to people who may be able to make sense of it. And I'll say now, I'll probably say it again as we go through this, if anyone tells you that they know the book of Revelation, can interpret and understand every verse and know exactly what it all means, don't believe them. Just like if someone tells you, I know when Jesus is going to return, don't believe them. I think there's somebody, again, making news the past few days because they've predicted the world's going to end or Jesus is going to return or something like that. I think April 23rd is the new date. So you can be sure that Jesus is not going to return April 23rd. Because Jesus himself said, nobody knows. Not even himself, only God the Father. And so if anybody tells you they know, then you can be sure that they don't. Now at the same time, I hope as we work through this book the next several weeks, I hope that you will come to love these words. Because they were written to us. And they're meant to give us hope. They're meant to be a message of encouragement for the church. To give us faith and strength through trials. So a little bit of background before we get into the words I just read here. John, now this is the same John who was one of Jesus' disciples, a leader in the early church, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, the same John who wrote the three short epistles that appear just before Revelation. It's that John. And John, late in his life, had been exiled by the Romans to an island called Patmos. And this island is in the Aegean Sea. If you aren't a geography expert, you can imagine the Mediterranean Sea with Europe to the north and Africa to the south and the Middle East to the east. And the Aegean Sea exists between modern-day Greece and Turkey. And so Patmos is this tiny little island, and the Romans thought a great punishment for John, instead of just executing him, even worse, we will sentence him to live out his days on this tiny forsaken little island out in the Aegean Sea. And that's where John lived out his life and eventually, I believe, died there for all history records. But as he was there, John received a series of revelations. And as we read in verse 1, from Jesus, sent to him through an angel, sent to him through the Holy Spirit. It was visions, it was dreams. Maybe John was even, through these visions, transported to see heaven, whether that's a physical place. It isn't a physical place in that sense, but John got glimpses into heaven. And so he receives these visions and he writes down as best he can what he saw and what he heard. And these visions were intended to go to seven churches. And you heard a reference to those churches. And next week we'll talk more about those seven churches. But these were real, real churches. And they happened to all be along the coast nearest to Patmos. There were lots of little Christian communities that were springing up. You remember Paul going out and other Christian missionaries and that first generation of believers and planting churches and people coming to faith. And these seven churches happen to be all on what is today the western coast of the nation of Turkey. And you can read about those churches. I don't think the actual churches exist, but those villages or towns still exist. You can probably find them on the map today, although Turkey, of course, is a Muslim nation now, and they have renamed them according to their own language and traditions. But these were seven real churches that John was writing to, chosen for God's own purposes, but also because they were very close to where John was living at the time. And so you can imagine him thinking, I'm going to write down what I've seen here, and I'll convince someone to carry these letters, this letter, off to those churches. And these would be the easiest churches to get to, just east of where his little island was. Revelation is also written, though, to us. And it's important that we understand that. It's most likely the last book of the Bible, last book of the New Testament to be written. And it was addressed to the church. And God understood that the church age would carry on now 2,000 years later. And this letter comes to us. Just as John originally addressed it to seven churches, now it's been passed down through the generations to millions and millions of believers. But it was intended for the church and for people just like us. And that's why Revelation matters, because this powerful message comes into our lives. And so as we begin to read these words, let me ask, do you ever face challenges or trials or worries? Well, then Jesus sent this message of encouragement to you. Do you ever struggle with doubt or fear or anxiety? Well, then Jesus spoke these words of hope for you. And when you look around at the world, do you ever see turmoil or terror or violence? Well, Jesus calls you to have faith and to watch for the deliverance that He has promised. And does it ever look like evil and sin and Satan are winning? Well, then the book of Revelation has another truth for you. And that is that Jesus wants you to know He is more powerful and He will win in the end. And Revelation delivers this message into our lives just as it has delivered this message into the lives of believers now for all these generations. People who have struggled with the same things we struggle with. People who have seen the troubles of this world just like we see the troubles of this world. And people who needed to know that God is on their side and that Jesus is more powerful and that in the end God will triumph over all of these forces that threaten us. That is why Jesus gave John this revelation and why John wrote it down and why the Spirit has enabled it to be passed down year after year, generation after generation into our lives. So as we look at these opening verses, I want us to focus here on what we read about who Jesus is and also what He is saying into our lives today. So we begin at the very beginning, verse 1, where it says, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants what must soon take place." What is Revelation all about? Well, that one sentence tells you. It's a message from Jesus to God's people to tell us what's going to happen in our lives. What's going to take place. Jesus knew that we needed this message of encouragement, and so Jesus brings hope to the church today. Jesus brings us hope. Even before leaving the earth, Jesus warned His disciples, you're going to face trials and persecution and hardship. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is John 16:33, and it actually begins with bad news. Listen to what it says. These are Jesus' words. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." And that's a prophecy. And it's a prophecy that has come true 1,000 times over down through the years. In this world you will have trouble. But then Jesus continued, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." And that's a promise that Jesus made. Yeah, there's going to be trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome. And that word overcome, which equates in Greek to the word victory, those who gain victory. And we see that all through the book of Revelation, that through Jesus Christ, it's not that we win, it's that He wins. He gains the victory. He enables us through Him to overcome. And we'll see that theme come up over and over again. So Jesus brings us this great hope. Now, some of the troubles that we face in life come our way because of our faith, because we follow Jesus. The unbelieving world doesn't like Jesus, doesn't like His followers. They despise our values. They despise Jesus' teaching. And we see that in maybe subtle, sometimes not so subtle ways in our culture, where people just, they don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear anything about the church. They don't want to hear about our values. It's become almost a bad word to talk about being a Christian in our world today. And yet, we're not persecuted the way that people around the world are. For some, following Jesus means real persecution and violence and even death. And you hear about parts of the world where those who proclaim Jesus do in fact face great trials. Now, there's other trouble that comes our way simply because we live in a broken world. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. And some of that trouble is just because things don't go well in this life. There's illnesses and financial hardships and broken promises and bad things happen to everyone, even good people like you. Bad things are going to come your way, and that's part of living in this world. We face trials and we face hardship, but Jesus wants us to know that He's with us. And He knew even long ago what you would be facing today. And He wants you to know that there is hope. And so as we think about who Jesus is and why He gave us this revelation, we also think about how He calls us to join Him in offering hope and help and compassion to others. And so we follow up this idea that Jesus brings us hope with this truth, that we can encourage one another through trials. We can encourage each other. And that's part of what John means in verse 3. Listen to verse 3 again. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. In other words, these words are relevant in your life. And as we read it aloud, as we share this word with others, we are sharing hope. We're sharing encouragement. We are sharing the truth that Jesus is stronger than anything that stands against us in this life. And so we find this hope and we pass it on to others. And we encourage one another. You see, that's why we gather as a church family in times of need. It's why we gather when someone is mourning. We surround them with love and comfort and encouragement. It's why we pray for one another during illness. Why when we see someone worried or down or facing difficulty, we try to lift them up. It's why we visit those in need. I said last week that as a church family, we're good at caring for one another. That's one of the strengths of this church. And that starts here in the church family, but it also needs to extend out to neighbors and friends and extended family and even to those who don't know Jesus, maybe especially to those who don't know Jesus, people who feel the effects of this broken world and yet don't have the hope that we have. And so we're called to share that hope. And Jesus sends this message of hope to us, and then we, in turn, take it to others. Take it to others who need hope. What else do we see about Jesus in this first part of Revelation? Well, in verse 5, we read this, that Jesus is the faithful witness, that He is the firstborn from the dead, and that He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And so we proclaim today that Jesus is the risen Lord who is mighty over all earthly powers. He is the risen Lord. Of course, we celebrated Easter, the resurrection, just a couple of weeks ago. We continue that celebration. Really, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. Jesus is our risen Lord. His Spirit is with us here today, and we rejoice in that good news. He defeated death. And last week, then, we talked about the Great Commission, that Jesus has sent out His followers, telling us to go and make disciples of all nations, to share His love, to share His story with people who are far from Him. That's the mission of the church. And then here we read that Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus said in the Great Commission, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Which is an amazing promise. That whatever powers we see in this world, and there are great powers, and they do good things, and they do bad things, and they do things that help us, and they do things that hurt us, and we may get to vote for some who are in power, and then around the world we see people who take power from others and exercise it in ways that we wish they wouldn't, and we see all these great powers, and we see the power of what our military can do, and you watch the news in Syria and you see the terrible things that can be done, and then the response that comes from our military, and we're sometimes amazed at how powerful these forces are in the world, and yet we are reminded that Jesus is stronger. Whatever side you're on, whatever forces of military might may come our way or may work on our behalf or whatever you think about all that, Jesus is stronger. And He is able, no matter what comes against us, He is able to stand strong. Another major theme that we see in Revelation is the images of the forces in this world that oppose the church. And all through the book of Revelation, we see that, how the church is threatened, and how the followers of Jesus face persecution and even death. And sometimes that does become the reality in the church. And down through the years, for 2,000 years, the church has faced that. And the enemy stands up against us. And yet no one is stronger than Jesus. None of those forces can overthrow Him. None of them can touch His mighty power. And so this truth gives us the faith to proclaim that we trust Jesus to help us overcome whatever stands against us. Whatever comes our way, we believe that Jesus is stronger. And so it's not just governments and kings and rulers. It's also the spiritual forces that may oppose us. It's also the sinful attitudes and actions of people around us. And we all know what that's like when people stand up against us and prevent us from doing what we know is right or prevent us from going the way that we would like to go and all these things in the world that cause us worry and fear and pain. But Jesus is stronger. And He holds us in His mighty hands. And so we trust that nothing can stand in our way. When people think of the book of Revelation, I know they often think about the end times. And that is part of what this book is about. But that's not the whole, it's not the whole book. But it is one of those major themes that we're going to see as we read through Revelation. And John begins to hint at it in verse 7. He says, "Look, He, that is Jesus, is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him." In other words, even those who opposed Jesus. Even those who were part of those who sent Him to the cross, even those who continue all these years later to stand up against Jesus, one day they're going to see Him coming back. Because Jesus will return one day. And every generation of believers, and we need to hear this clearly today as we begin thinking reading through Revelation, every generation of believers since Jesus was on the earth has thought and hoped we will be the last generation. Jesus is going to return in my lifetime. And they have looked at the signs of the world around them, and every generation of believers has read the book of Revelation, as well as other passages, Old and New Testament, and they have thought, surely this must be the end times. Jesus is about to return. And for 2,000 years, the church has watched and waited. And the truth is that that's good. That is supposed to be our attitude. And so if you look around the world today and you think, this, it's got to be the end. Jesus must be coming back. It's going to happen in my lifetime. Good, think that. But just know that every generation before you has thought it as well. And we don't know when He's coming back, but we should hope. And we should anticipate. And we should live as though Jesus is coming. Because He is coming. We just don't know when. Jesus will return. And He will take us to be with God forever. That is His promise. And that is the truth of Revelation. In fact, the book of Revelation invites us to watch and to pray that Jesus will return. It is the greatest hope that we have as His followers. And however you imagine the end times coming about, and whenever you think it will come, for us, Jesus' return will be good news. It will be good news. And so we wait and we watch and we hope. And like every generation of believers before us, we also, as we wait and as we watch, we also carry on the mission that Jesus gave us. We watch hopefully for Jesus coming, even as we serve His mission. And we talked last week about the mission of the church, and I'm not going to go into all that again, but we've been called to make disciples, to share His love and message with the people around us. And knowing that Jesus will return, maybe even soon, gives us motivation, it gives us urgency to tell the people around us that they need to come to faith. Because one day Jesus will return, and people need to hear that good news. They need to open up their hearts to the Savior. They need to be ready. Revelation and all of the New Testament teaches us that people everywhere need Jesus and that He is the only hope for the salvation of our souls. And so today we give thanks for this message of hope. We give thanks for the promise that Jesus will return. Let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, we do give You thanks today for the great hope that we have in Jesus. We give You thanks for the hope that He will return, but Lord, we also give You thanks that He's with us now. Whatever we face, as we seek to share His good news with others, as we seek to love one another, as we seek just to make it through life and deal with the trials and difficulties that come our way, Lord, we give You praise that You are with us. And for the great hope that Jesus will return and gain victory over all those forces that stand against us and against Your church. So, Father, fill us with hope today. Help us to trust in You. We pray this in Jesus' name.